So good evening and welcome back to Living Your Best Life with Caroline and AJ. I am your host, Caroline Thea Jones, and my co-host is AJ Jones Sr. AJ will not be here tonight because he is out living his best life with his buddies tonight, and that is okay because I'm still here and I'm living my best life, and I have a co-host this evening, my very best friend, Miss Marilyn Cole, who's going to be a stand-in for AJ tonight. And I like to do what I like to do, and that's talking to you, my listeners, as I have a candid conversation with my guest, Miss Denise Washington. So I just want to say welcome to the show. Denise is on a mission to assist women over 50 to live in their true purpose. And she is using fitness as the bridge to confidence and joy. I love it. I love it. And I know I'm going to have a lot to talk to Miss Denise about. So after maintaining a 100-pound weight loss for over 15 years, oh, Denise, I need to talk to you. Denise went on to complete her bachelor's degree at Rutgers University, becoming certified as an instructor in spin, Pilates, and TRX. I don't know what TRX is, but I know we're going to talk about it. And she is a personal trainer for all of you out there who need a personal trainer, which I might need a personal trainer because I can never stay on point. But anyway, after interviewing over 100 women, Denise found that although each woman wanted to lose weight, like myself, they were all at a point in their lives where they wanted to find their true purpose. It was then that she decided to open her business, Your Next Chapter LLC, a 26-week program that enables her clients to become healthier with the bonus, a bonus, y'all, of finding their life's passion and purpose by doing what brings them joy. And I love it because Denise is proof that life's trials often result in our greatest triumphs. Please help me welcome my guest to the show, Miss Denise Washington, and my co-host for this evening, Miss Marilyn Cole. Ladies, how are you? How are you?
Excellent
today. Oh my gosh, this is going to be so much fun. I know it's going to be so much fun. There is so many jewels here. Miss Denise, please tell us more about yourself, please.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for this opportunity because I have wanted to meet you for the longest time. So thank you both for your time and wanting to hear my story.
Yes, we want to hear your story. You have so much. I'm going to tell you, Kiana has been telling me about you for a long, long time. I'm really surprised we have not met sooner because we both know Kiana and she's been singing your praises for a long, long time. And so I find it really crazy that we haven't met until now. But you know what I say? There are no coincidences in the world, and everybody meets when they're supposed to meet. Every connection is right on time. So this connection tonight, right on time.
Right on time. I absolutely agree. That is one of the lessons that I have learned. There are no coincidences at all. Absolutely not. It happens when it is meant to happen. Yes, and just like Kiana is a fan of mine, please let her know I am a fan of hers.
I will let her know.
So what is it that you would like to know?
Well, I want to know one of the things that Kiana brought to my attention. She felt as though you would be a perfect candidate for this particular show, Living Your Best Life. And I said to her when we spoke and I spoke to Kiana, I said, oh, wow, she can be on this show or this show. I was thinking about all the shows you could be on because you have much going on, right? But she insisted. She goes, no. She has to be on this show. And the reason why she wanted you on this show is because she so admired everything about you from the time she shared with me that you know that you're a widow now, and how you just picked your life up and just started over. And I think she wanted to make sure that I understood that you can live your best life at any particular time. It doesn't matter where it begins. And so I love what you said, because sometimes women, we get stuck and we think it's past my time now and I can't find happiness anymore. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about that.
Finding happiness. I can honestly say that I had no clue, or I had no vision as to what 69-year-old Denise would be. I didn't. I had no clue as to who this person would be. Never thought about her, never thought past the current time. But really, what pushed me was mid-50. And from talking to women, I hear that a lot of women say this, that they get a tap, but they ignore it. But I got a tap, and it was like, okay, the kids now are older. They know how to drive. You don't have to plan. You can live your life. Yes, I was still married at the time, but there was something nagging that kept saying, okay, this is Mother Nature. I am not playing. This is now time for you. And I can honestly say that that was the beginning, because at that point, not only did I hear it, but I actually took a look at myself. And I had been a caregiver for my spouse. He had diabetes, sarcoidosis, and all the comorbidities that go with each of these conditions. Didn't realize, I'll be honest, just how sick he was. We didn't, because we handle everything in this family with humor. And so we dealt with everything with humor. Everything's going to work out well. But I looked up, and as a caregiver, what happened to me is what happens to a lot of caregivers. You end up gaining weight. And over the course of 10 years, I had gained 100 pounds. And I started doing interesting things like not looking in the mirror, getting dressed with my back to anything, not really looking at myself, taking pictures. And I remember it was for my 55th birthday. My family gave me a phone and they took a picture. And I look like no one in my family. And I have a very strong familial resemblance. When I'm with my father's people, you can tell. When I'm with my mother's people, you can tell. I did not look like anyone, and I didn't know who this person was. And now that I think about it, I didn't even know who that person, not only physically was, but emotionally. And I can say my spouse had a lot to do with me getting healthier again, because I joined a program, and what he did, he knows I'm cheap. He called the woman the morning of, wanted to find out what I needed. Got everything that I needed. He said I needed a ball, I needed weights. He bought me some clothes and he gave me a check. And he knew that if he gave me the check, I'm cheap. If you give me something, I'm going to pay for it, I'm going to do it. And it was 3 months. And that got me started. And as the weight began to come off, well, now I want to do other things. Well, if I can lose 75 pounds, say, in a year, maybe I could do 4 5Ks. If I could do 4 5Ks, I said, well, let me try to do a marathon. And that began to step up for me. So then my workouts began to intensify. And as a result of that, I began to meet more people. And then I'm involved in more things. And now I'm exposed to more things. So that also brought in spin. Fitness for me, though, I didn't realize it, because all during this time, I was losing people. Mother, father, various aunts and uncles. And every time I'd had a loss, what did I do? I worked out. I worked out more. This was my happy place. And my husband passed in 2016 on Father's Day. Approximately 3 weeks before, he had a conversation with everyone telling them how much he loved them, what he wanted for them to do going forward. I was a witness to this. And when he came to me with this, I didn't want to hear this. I was like, oh, no, no. What are you talking about? Nope, nope. This isn't happening. Nope, 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 nope. And he said, no, what I want you to do is all the things, because I was on a different path. I'll be honest. When I met him, I was on this, I'm going to be a career person. I'm not having any children. I'm not getting connected with anybody. And then I met somebody named George Washington in 1979. And that's how I met him. I was laughing at his name. But he said, you wanted to do all these things. He said, now you're going to have the time to do it. And I'll be honest, it took me about a year to really deal with grief. And I'm still dealing with it, but dealing with it so that it wasn't so debilitating and giving myself the grace. And it was just one day I actually heard it. And I said, okay, I'm going to go back, because I had gone back to start to complete my bachelor's. And during this time, I left it. So I went back, started working on that. Since I was now a widow, I was like, gee, I need more money. I am a certified medical coder by trade. So I received another certification. I took a test so that now I could teach coding. Okay, that's a really cool way to bring in money. I'm certified to that. I was like, well, let me get certified so that I could do hospital coding. Why the heck not? Did that. So I have all this, opened up a business teaching people how to code and to pass the test. I'm thinking, well, gee, this is really cool that I'm finding ways to make more money, but let me do something for me. And that's when I decided. I had always talked to him and said, I love spin. I feel so good after I take spin. This is my thing. And it does. For whatever reason, it hits a part of my brain and I'm like, yes, let's go. So I decided to become certified as a spin instructor. Along the way, and again, not anything that I had planned years in advance, but when I went back to school and simultaneously got that certification to teach coding, I needed what they call continuing education credits. Yeah, well, some people wait till the last moment. I no longer do this, but one year I did, and I needed 8 credits, and this was in October. I was like, ooh, you're in trouble. I found out that Toastmasters, the group that helps you with public speaking, each one of their sessions would give me like 1.5 credits. So my plan was just to go to Toastmasters, get these CTUs, and boom, donk, gone. I went there that first night. I said, I have found my tribe. I love this. Mm-hmm. And I got up and they gave me what they call table topics. 2 minutes to talk about any topic that they gave you. And I started talking about my life and my experiences as the eldest of 3 children growing up in Brooklyn. I was like, here's my credit card. Take my money now because I want to join. I didn't realize that those skills would enable me when I was graduating from Rutgers. There is UPSEA, the University Professional Continuing Education Association, and they look for ways to assist students who aren't your average student that's 18 years old, just coming from high school, which is not your average college student now. Well, my professors submitted my name. They asked me, type up your story and just send them something about you. And I was very reluctant because I thought that they're going to pick somebody from the Northeast area, because that's what I was in competition for. That was going to be, honestly, I figured a young white male that was 21 years old living home with their parents. Well, they picked me. In 2021, I was their winner. And they came to me and said, we read your story. We laughed. We cried. But we can't tell this story. And I was like, that's fine. We're getting ready to get awards in 20 minutes. What is it that you want? And they said, we want you to tell something. I said, well, how many minutes do I have? The woman said, I'm going to give you as much time as you wanted. And I said, oh my God, this is a table topic, but at least I know the topic. And I was able to not only go out there, give this speech in front of who I found out later was 175 PhDs, but Rutgers then the next week asked me to come and just talk about my experiences in front of their continuing education staff. That was interesting, because that same year I had spent 1 week with Iyanla Van Zandt doing rites of passage. Now, I was doing rites of passage as an elder, which is now preparing me to understand what it is and my role as an elder. I was thinking, geez, had I done this when I was 20, I would be something else now. But that was amazing. And all these things came together because I was in no way, shape, or form ready for any of this before this. I could have not done rites of passage in, say, 2020 or before that, only because I hadn't had all those other experiences.
Exactly. And everything comes in its right time. Now, I want to circle back a little bit. My co-host, Marilyn, I want her in this conversation because Marilyn is part of our ministry group, and she is the chair for our grief and loss committee. And you said some very interesting things about grief and about what you experienced in the loss of your mom, I think your aunt. You said your mom, your aunt, and then your husband. And so Marilyn has some questions. First of all, you have a lot in common. She was a caregiver as well to her mom who passed not even that long ago, right, Marilyn?
Yeah, it was May will make 2 years, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah. So thank you for blessing us with your time tonight. And your story is awesome, what I've heard so far. But I just have a few questions. I know that grief is one of those things that no one's ever prepared for. And no matter how prepared you think you are, you're just not. And I just wondered if you found it difficult to deal with it, or should I say, what skills do you think you used to deal with it?
I think that I only dealt with the grief of having lost my parents, aunts, uncles, close relatives. I only dealt with it after my husband died, because each time, each person that passed, not to say that I didn't grieve, say, when my mother passed, because I did. Right. But I don't think I allowed myself, because I felt that I had to take care of him. I had to make sure that my children were fine and everybody else was in line. So when he passed, I think I dealt with the grief of everything. And I'm not going to lie to you, one of the first things I did once everything was arranged was come home, figure out what exercise classes, because he passed on a Sunday. Monday, I was 8 o'clock. I was on the bike. And the good thing was, for me, no one knew. I didn't tell anyone in that gym. They didn't find out till about 2 years later, because I just needed a day with people that I was just still Denise Washington. Not Denise the widow. I didn't even know who that person was.
Right.
So I did that. And I was in grief counseling Wednesday. I called on Monday and I made sure I got my children in counseling separate from myself, because they might have had negative feelings about anything I had done. And I wanted to give them the freedom to grieve for them.
Right.
But I knew that if I didn't go for grief counseling and start working out or having a place that I could go just for me, I would have been stuck. And that was my biggest fear.
Yes. I asked that question because I believe that, I know for me personally, I was stuck. as a caregiver. I didn't remember who I was, what I liked. And I think so many people fall into that. And I'm so happy that he did push you or encourage you to follow your passion or what he knew was your passion at one point. So you had something else to focus on other than just, I guess, just melt into your grief, for lack of a better analogy. But, you know, that's great. I'm glad, because now that's something else I can pass on to someone else to say, you know, hold on to whatever you find is your passion and not let it go and not focus on the loss as much. So thank you for that. Go ahead.
What advice would you give a woman? Because I love the fact that you said that you had interviewed over 100 women, and you have found that although each of them wanted to lose the weight, they also had, there was a point in their life where they wanted to find their true purpose. And I know so many women over the age of 50 find themselves, whether it's after a loss, no matter what the loss is, but they find themselves stuck because they've been doing one thing all of their life, or what they can remember, and something in their life has changed. Something changed, and now they find themselves with wondering what should they do.
The first thing I would say is give yourself grace, because most women do not. We get up and figure we have to just soldier along and just do this, no matter what the this is, and work through it. Because honestly, I should have taken off weeks. I shouldn't have gone back after a week from any of the losses. But I was back there because that's what the good little soldier does. And what ends up happening is that you find things such as you can't get out of the house one try. You go out the house, you leave the cup of coffee. You come back, you leave the keys. Then you put the coffee on top of the car, you drive away, coffee's flying all over. All these types, and you are shaking your head yes, so you definitely understand this. Yes, the first thing I would say is give yourself grace. Second, accept the help. Because there's always going to be those people who tell you those first few weeks, I'm going to call you, I'm going to be supportive and whatever. Everyone who I have spoken to, and this even applies to myself, there was this one or two people that after the first 4 weeks, when people go back to their lives, and I definitely understand that, but you have one or two people, and for me, it was one of my cousins. Crystal called me every other Sunday. Sometimes she'd put every Sunday, but I could count on her every other Sunday, just to check in, to see how I was doing, and to find out, do you need anything? Or don't even, and people that are trying to help you, I also want to tell them, don't ask, do you need help? Supply the help. Show up with the casserole. Show up with the cup of coffee. Show up just to listen. Because in all this grief, you don't know what you need. And the first thing I know, I said, nothing. I'm fine. Meanwhile, I got my hair all upside down and coats on backwards, things like that. So accept the help. Give yourself the grace. And find support, be it church, be it a counselor, be it a group. Because I know I went to a group of grieving people. And it helped me immensely to be with other people who had lost, not just spouses, children, aunts, uncles, whoever, and hearing their stories and giving them support helped me, and seeing them at various stages. Some had lost after a year, some had lost after 2 years, 10 years, and the ones at 10 years made me understand that, oh, you're going to be dealing with this for a while.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So those would be the things I would suggest, just off the top of my head. Yeah.
Talk about this 100-pound weight loss. Was this only from working out and spinning, from doing all your spin classes and your Zumba.
This is okay. Cool. I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you the first.
Oh, I apologize. Let me put this back over here. I want to talk about the weight loss.
Oh, okay.
Was the weight loss a result of all of the activities, all of the spinning, or was there a mental? I want to know, was there something mental that you had to do to get yourself set up for that?
Well, I've always liked working out. I have. I've always liked working out, and I'm one of those people that when I do work out, the endorphins do marvelous things to me. And I first started with, what was it, Step? This tells you how long ago.
Yeah. Do they still Step?
they're not doing Step now. I really think they should. Okay. I love Step. I did Step, Pilates, yoga, and something else. I was there maybe five days out of the week. And I started working out, but I wasn't losing weight. But I began to tone up. So my clothes fit different, but the number was the same. Okay. What began to drive me, because I'm a numbers person, was when I started seeing things like my bad cholesterol went down, my good cholesterol went up. Okay.
And that's
that for me was like, good job.
Okay. And that's all from the exercising, though.
That was all from exercising, because I had those first 16 weeks. I didn't change what I was eating. Okay, I wasn't eating as many Oreo cookies as I normally would. But I'm an Oreo cookie fiend. I didn't concentrate until maybe the fourth month in.
Okay.
And then I said, you know what? I'm working out. I'm adding walking. I feel better, but I'm feeling tired. And that's because I wasn't giving myself the food that I needed.
Okay.
Because my first thought was to cut back severely, which wasn't going to work. Oftentimes you gain weight when you do that because your body's like, oh, you're starving.
Yeah.
So I ended up slow. Again, this was slow. I began adding more fruits and vegetables, mm-hmm. cutting back on the amount of meat that I was eating because I really wasn't, I didn't enjoy meat. I didn't.
Yeah.
I was more of a fish person. So I then began to make vegetarian meals. I'm not saying that you can't be healthy eating meat because you can. You can. People do it every day. And these were very, very small changes. I'm talking about adding a snack of berries for a week.
Okay.
Okay. Then, you know, and then maybe having half of my plate being a salad.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I guess I can do that. That sounds easy.
Yeah.
I feel like I can do that. I feel like that. Now, I want to talk to you about your activities, too, because Kiana informs me that you do a lot of hiking and you do a lot of traveling and you're just going all over the place. And you are the way she said it is that this woman is truly living her best life. So I want to talk to you about your traveling. I want to talk to you about the hiking. I think you climbed the wall, didn't you? Didn't you tell me you climbed you did some rock climbing?
I did rock climbing.
Yes,
I want you to tell us
about that.
I think the past 2 years, I know that what is her name? Rhymes. I can't remember her first name. She had a year of yes. I didn't realize I've had 2 years of yes. And it all started when I went back to one of my most favorite places, Sedona. And most people go to Sedona for, you know, spiritual.
Yes.
Get in touch with
themselves. I want to go. Yes.
That was part of it. But I started that was 2022. Yes. I went there in February. I had beautiful weather. People tell me I was very lucky. And I started hiking. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I was hiking in sneakers and I said, oh no, I have to, when I get back home, I am going to get some boots and I'm getting out there and I'm going to start hiking.
Yeah.
I came back here. That's how I met Kiana, because I went on Meetup because I asked friends, and unless friends are into the sport as much as you are, they're not going to be as excited. I'm like, I bought these hiking boots. I'm good to go. I started going out with Kiana first. And then I opened myself up to other groups so that I'd have varied interactions and various heights and whatever. And I said, ooh, I want to do something different. And one night I was up searching on the web, and what pops up? 7 days hiking in Iceland. All women's crew.
Wow.
I said, oh, this is for me. I knew wow. This was for me. And I took a year to train. And in that year, I hiked every single weekend, mm-hmm. regardless of the weather, as long as it wasn't, say, something dangerous. Yeah. And usually they cancel hikes when they're dangerous. But I went with so many different groups. I learned so much from people. I went in New York. I went to the Catskills because I even spent part of the summer in one of these tiny cabins. And I went hiking in the Catskills so that I would get elevation, although I had no idea that how much elevation. I wasn't ready. It wasn't that I wasn't ready. Iceland was such a shock because when I hiked here, I might have hiked, oh, let's say you go up maybe 3 or 4 mountains. I was not ready, or mentally, I didn't think I was ready to do 14 mountains in a day. And we just kept going up and down, up and down, up and down. Wow. So I did that. When I came back from Iceland, I felt like I was changed. I knew I could do anything because it was tough. Oh, and I was sick. I was sick for the seven days. And I felt that if I could do that, and I had met so many different women from all over the world, some of who now are my friends, I wanted more. And I just knew that I could do more because if I could do that, wasn't anything going to stop me. So I went rock climbing.
Yes.
In New York. It's called the Shaolin Gunks. They say you're climbing the Gunks. It's this place that, who knew that it's in the Catskills? And people come from not only all states, but they come from around the world, mm-hmm. to climb the Gunks. So here I show up with a friend of mine, and the guy says, how often do you go rock climbing? I said, never. He's like, so you come to the premier spot? I was like, yeah, why not? What a day. That was absolutely amazing.
Wow.
Because I won't say that I'm not afraid of heights, but at no time did I feel the fear of the heights at all. That was not because you are secured in, you have somebody that's holding you in a rope.
I was going to ask you that. Yes.
No, you are secure because when he would fit the harness, you felt it because he said, hold on 1 second. He went yank. And I was like, ooh, I'm definitely secure. And they call it belaying. So there's somebody at the bottom that has the rope. Mm-hmm. And they, as they see you move, it's you and them together. And they let that rope go. And at times, since he knew what he was doing, when he could see that we were tired, he would say, okay, I'm going to pull about 5 pounds off of you. So that kind of lightened my load that I wasn't taking my whole body weight.
Okay.
But what got to me was it's very technical. And there was a knot, which this taught me something else about myself. There was a knot that they called it a figure eight. Well, I had a figure 10, 9, 7. It just wasn't working. And I got really annoyed with myself. And I said, I'm never doing this again. And I told him, thank you very much. And then I came home and looked at the pictures. Mm-hmm. And I went, wow, look what you did.
Yes.
Look how much fun you had. So that's, I'm adding that to the list. I am now going to go back to the Gunks.
Okay.
And I am going to do that again because I am not going to let that figure eight, because he even gave me a rope to practice on.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not going to be defeated. You don't sound like a person who's going to be defeated. So what about you, Marilyn? You think you want to go rock climbing? Because
I think I was scared of heights, so no. That's
no?
Not going to happen.
Come on. All right, so
we're going to try indoors.
That's right. Try indoors. We have the perfect role model here on this podcast with us that's going to help us do a little bit more, get out of our comfort zone,
I would do indoor. I would do indoor. I'm not ready for the gong.
But you know what? There's various mountains and various sides, mm-hmm. various heights.
I think you should try, Marilyn.
It doesn't have to be hot, or you could do both.
I'll go if you go, Caroline.
Well, I would love to go. I'm not sure. And I don't want... See, this is another thing I don't want to do. I don't want to use excuses as to why I can't do anything, right? I do have some degenerative disc things going on in my back. So I don't know if I'm able to on a physical level. But I also don't want that to be the thing that keeps me from doing things, because I've heard stories of lots of people who have disabilities and all kinds of things that are happening with their bodies, and they're still able to do stuff. So I don't want to limit myself. I don't want to keep myself from doing things because I'm afraid. But I also don't want to cause any damage to myself. So, all right, Denise, I'll put the question out there. What kind of advice would you give to someone like myself who do have some little, you know, I'm not handicapped, but I do have some things going on that I need to be careful of.
To be careful of. And yes. So do I. Yeah. So do I, because I am not going to lie and say, oh boy, those shoes that they had us rock climbing were so comfortable. No, they were awful. If I do this again, when I do this again, rather, I'm buying the shoes. And okay. I'm an older woman, therefore, I have things like onions, which get in the way. I'm not going to lie. They do. So I end up, you know, making sure I have orthotics, blah, blah, blah. But the first thing you need to do is, after you get clearance from your doctor, find out what are the things that you can ease into. Or that you could ease into and modify. I always tell people, no matter what you're doing, if you need to modify, do so. And if you have an instructor, no matter what you're doing, that they will not provide modifications. That is not the place for you.
Okay.
That is not the place for you. And now find something that you like. Do you like to walk?
I do. I like to walk.
Okay. So walking... long distances, walking, including hiking. You could even walk, because October, I did what they call the Mammoth March. Mm-hmm. It is hiking, and it's through a hiking trail, mm-hmm. 20 miles, mm-hmm. and they give you 8 hours. They don't throw you off the field at 8 hours. So that much I did find out. Now, this will not happen to you, but this did happen to me.
Okay.
It was a beautiful day. I get to mile 2, crossing a boulder. Right foot goes up. I'm like, hey, right foot just slipped up. I was like, oh, I'll put my left foot down. Put my left foot down. Left foot was like, nope, I'm going to. So I fell.
Oh.
On my right side.
Okay.
On my ribs.
Okay.
And the minute I inhaled, I said, ooh, something's bad. But I felt that if I could get to the aid station at mile 5, I'd see how I felt. Mm-hmm. Well, I did complete it. Now that I know what could have happened, maybe I wouldn't have done so. But listen to your body. That's why I'm backing into this story. I finished it. I got my medal. I'm cheap. I wanted a medal. I paid for it. That's me. But listen to your body. Yeah. If your body's like, nah, that's not for me. And I tell people that also in spin, because some people want to be there, mm-hmm. but they can't stand up.
Yeah.
And I said, so stay in first position, sitting. You can take this whole class sitting. It doesn't matter. I said, modify this for you.
Okay.
And once people get out of their heads, oh, so maybe I could do this with the modification of sitting down until you build core strength, or maybe you just sit down, period. But number one, you have to find something that you like, and you have to find, if you're doing something with an instructor, mm-hmm. make sure that they are willing to modify for age or whatever else might be going on. Because I would rather see people out there modifying than staying home and not working.
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree. And I agree even for myself. I really don't have no intentions of just sitting and doing nothing. So I have to find, I'm going to clap that up too, because, you know, I said to myself, no, I'm going to be out here and I'm going to be doing stuff. Now, I don't know if I'm going to be ice skating and roller skating and doing all the stuff that, you know, could cause me a lot of damage, but I'm going to try to do a lot of things, even if I have to, like you said, modify it.
And you'll be surprised, the people that you will meet, that you're thinking, oh, my modification is rough. Mm-hmm. You'll see people out there with walkers and everything else. I'm like, oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah. That's what I say. Yeah.
Or races. Mm-hmm. Races now are being drawn by people who are walkers. And that includes marathons, half marathons, 5Ks. It's the walkers that there are more walkers than they are people that are actually pounding that pavement.
Yeah, I totally agree. So I think you just try. Just get up and try and do it and don't say you can't. And that's the most important thing. So Marilyn, we're going to go rock climbing indoors.
Indoors.
You know what? We can start with the children's rock climbers. You know what I'm saying? Because Naomi likes to rock climb. So we can rock climb with Naomi. Just to get us started.
Rock climbing classes.
Yeah.
For beginners.
That's right.
They just don't say go out and do.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. See how I always get people to commitment with me. You know, pull a friend out to commit with you. So she gonna commit with me. All right. So you wanna talk a little bit about your LLC, your next chapter? Let's talk about
this. Thank you so much.
Yes.
People come to me and my first thought was, ooh, since I had lost weight and maintained it. And since I had went to Iceland, people saw that and they wanted more. They wanted, well, I want to do that. So I said, let me help people lose weight and get healthy. And anybody really can help you do that. What I do is after having spoken to women, I knew that there was something more that women wanted to do after the age of 50 that they hadn't even conceived of yet. But once I get them moving, and they might only tone up, again, their health numbers might get better.
Yeah.
Increase in your good cholesterol, bad down, A1C comes down. They are open to the question of, well, what's next?
Yeah.
And that is really where I work with them, because in my program, I noticed I said 26 weeks. There's also a shorter version, 13 weeks. And with that, you get daily text messages from me. And they're not just a generalized text message. It's specific for each client. I don't work with more than 2 women per month. I don't, because for what I need to do, I cannot have like 50 million women working and keep track of them, because you're getting the daily text messages. You're going to get, in the beginning, I'm going to be giving you what exercises you should be doing or what body parts we're going to be working on and on what days and when you're going to rest and what you need. We definitely make sure that everyone is hydrated, because most people are walking around, and myself included, some days not drinking enough water. Not drinking enough water, or drinking water but then drinking a lot of coffee behind the water, which that's a diuretic. So that's not helping you at all. I tell everyone, by about the 20th week, you should be ready to fly the coop. Many people are, but this is what they do. I can't do this by myself. So I begin to wean you so that you can do this yourself. And because you don't need a trainer or someone as a coach for the rest of your life. No.
Right.
This is a short period of time. I get you in there. I give you the skills. You then go on.
Yeah.
So many women have started businesses. Many have gone back to school. Some have decided that they want a life of rest. So they are allowing themselves to rest, which a lot of times women don't do that.
Yeah.
And I just think there's such, I don't know, there's such beauty in those years after 50 that I don't think our society puts much value on it. And I know for myself, I can't say that I didn't have a role model, because I did. My mother learned how to swim when she was 63.
Oh, wow. That's encouraging.
She was terrified of water.
Yes, yes, yes. That's encouraging.
She was terrified. And you know what? She learned through her church. Somebody had told her at church that they had a group of women and they travel, but they primarily swim, and they had a swim team. And she went. Well, she then became a senior Olympian.
So,
yes, she did. The breaststroke was her thing. And the first time I saw her, I said, oh, my gosh, she jumped in the water, and it's 6 feet. And the women that were there, they were like, yeah, she does that all the time. Mm-hmm. And this woman was terrified. A puddle, she'd tell us, move. You're going to drown. So when I see that, I think that when more women, younger women, see it, they know, oh, okay, after 50s, that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Even women after 50, that's opening up possibilities of what they can do with their lives.
That is very, thank you for sharing that with me, because I'm not afraid of the water, but at the same time, I can't swim. And okay. So, and my dear friend Marilyn tried to teach me how to swim a few times. I do get a little paranoid. I start getting the little anxious when the water gets to about right here. And the thing about it is that I love the water. I love being in the water. I love everything about the water except going under frightens me. So that's why I think I have not learned how to swim as yet, but I really do want to learn. And I had thought to myself that it's too late until you just told me that story.
Then that's, you were meant to hear it, because
I agree.
Yes. Yes. Until you just told me that story, I thought that I could forget it. I'm never going to learn how to swim. But now I'm thinking that I should revisit that idea of learning how to swim.
Yeah, I know that Outdoor Afro has a program for, I know it's for younger people. I'm thinking they have something for, you know, older people, people over 25, to learn how to swim.
Yeah, well, I'm way over 25.
I know that. But
I'm actually the same age as, well, I will be the same age as your mom when she learned how to swim, because
I can definitely do that.
I will be 63 this year. And so that's why I was saying, wow, that story is so encouraging to me. I now want to go learn how to swim. This one here, Marilyn, swims like a fish. Yes. She swims like a fish, and every time she's in the pool, I'll be like, I want to swim like that. And she goes, let me help you. But then we can't even get past me learning how to float. So, but Marilyn, new encouragement. I'm going to do it. Yep. I promise you. New encouragement. We have new encouragement. I'm going to do it. I'm going to live my best life by learning how to swim.
Yes,
Thank you, Miss Denise.
You are welcome. See, you're going to define what your best life is.
Yes, yes. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about, how do we define what our best life is? Because, you know, for me, I've been telling all of my listeners that living your best life does not mean that you have a whole bunch of money, you have fancy cars, you got all of these clothes and stuff like that. Living your best life is you doing what makes you happy and what makes you come alive. So that's my definition of how to live your best life. And so I'm always telling everyone that I live my best life every time I have an interview such as this. I love talking to people, talking to new people, getting to meet people such as yourself, Denise. This is how I get to live my best life. But let's talk about that. What does it detail, you would say? Marilyn, what is living your best life like?
My best life is being free to do whatever I want. Traveling, spending time with my grandkids, going to the gym, just finding new things that I like that I may not like have known that I liked previously. So I'm open to different experiences. So that's my best, living my best life is finding new experiences that excite me. Like I've been doing boxing, which I never. Yeah. I've been doing boxing.
Didn't know that.
So yeah, I love it. Oh my God. I love boxing. So that's one thing I've added to the list. I love traveling. Like, put me anywhere. I'm game. I'm pretty much open to do anything. So living my best life is just discovering new things that I love to do.
Okay. So Denise, what would you tell, because when you're talking to the women that you counsel that's in your program, you're learning about them. You're learning about the things that make them happy. So if you had to give some advice right now to women over the age of 50, how they could now, if they haven't before, start living their best life, what kind of advice would you be giving them?
One of the things I have women do is connect with that younger self. Mm. Not that 20-something-year-old, that 8-year-old. What is it that you loved to do at 8? Now, granted, I used to love to play dodgeball. I can't, as an adult, be throwing balls at people's heads. But I liked to move. Movement for me was a biggie. Movement, and I had all these dreams of where I wanted to go and travel. And what I wanted to do. So I try to get them to get in touch with what was it that they loved to do before all these other shoulds came into their lives. Before the age of 10, when you were just that little girl running down the street doing whatever, or maybe you sat in your home and you were coloring. Maybe you should go into art. We go back and look at those things that were there when we got here. Mm. But because we had to learn other things, that part of us was put aside. Yeah. And now it's the time to look at it and open it and see, what is it that I put aside that I can now do?
Okay. I think that's great advice. I can't remember when I was 8. I don't think I can. Yeah. But I like the idea of doing things that could be deemed childish. And I don't mean childish as in, oh, you're acting childish. I mean, I watch Naomi sometimes and I see how much fun she's having playing with her dolls and talking to them. And you know, when she's coloring or when she's just playing with her dinosaurs, and she has no care in the world. And I often say, oh, I love that. I want to get back to that. So I like the whole idea of what you're saying. If you can just remember a time when you were carefree and nothing bothered you and you were just happy to be alive, we can start there, right?
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Exactly.
So that means every morning you could be in your best life, because I know personally I wake up and I check, okay, body parts are moving. I know the day. I know me. This is a beautiful day.
That's right.
And start from there.
That's right. I love that. I love it. I love it. So you've been listening to Living Your Best Life with Caroline and AJ. AJ is not here with us today because he is out living his best life. But I have my co-host here for this evening, Miss Marilyn Cole, and she is learning how to live a better life because she's already living her best life, but it's not her best life because she still has so much other stuff that she wants to do. And we have Miss Denise here with us, and she has been helping us to take a better look at ourselves for our health purposes so that we can be better healthy, so that we can go out there and do the things that we love to do, like swimming or rock climbing or hiking or just simply sitting outside by the pool or by the pond, looking at nature, because we can do whatever we want. Isn't that right, Miss Denise?
That's absolutely it. Find what you like and do more of it.
That's exactly it. Right.
And we don't always have to be busy.
That's right. Here you have it, right here from women who are living their best lives, women who are not out here killing themselves or worrying about this or that, but just simply enjoying life. You heard her. You woke up this morning. You have movement in your body. You can walk. You can talk. You can feel the sun on your face. You can go out into nature. You are living your best life in this moment right here, right now. And we want you to keep doing that.
Amen.
Absolutely.
So, Ms. Denise, I'm going to let you give us some last words as we take it on out of here. So tell us what you want us to know in this moment.
Well, again, I want to thank you both for your time.
Thank you.
Because this was joy. I think that for all the women out there, find your joy and live it. And in order to find it, what you're going to have to do is start with being still. Mm. That's how you're going to start with it. Just be still. And I wish everyone to be able to live the joyous life of their dreams.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. You've been listening to Living Your Best Life. Like I said, with Caroline and AJ, and we're going to be back next month with another guest who's going to tell us how they are living their best life. In the meantime, I want you to get out here and do something fun. I want you to do something that you've never done before. I want you to get rid of all the fears that you may have had within your body that says, I can't do this or I can't do that, because you can do whatever you want to do. Isn't that right, Marilyn?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, it is.
That's right. So if Miss Denise Washington, who's 69 years old, and folks, I want to say that Miss Denise Washington does not look 69 years old.
No.
But when she told me she was 69 years old, I had to take a double take. But see, it's okay, because she's living her best life, and that happiness is keeping her young. So you don't have no excuses, none at all. We want you out here doing some stuff. Denise, thank you so much for being my guest today. It was a pleasure meeting you. And now that we've met, we have to stay in touch.
We will definitely stay in touch. Thank you both.
We definitely have to stay in touch. Thank you both for being here today. And we'll see you next month.